Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Kuf Tezvav. We left off at Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah, probably about better than three quarters of the way down the Amud. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, Eli Lenishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, La'ashalom. It's also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. We thank both sponsors very much for their continued sponsorship of these shiurs. So today we are going to cover what I would call three primary topics. The first two topics, which we're going to discuss in the context of the first mission that we're going to see today, are as follows. First of all, what happens if you recognize that your items are stolen, or that you recognize somebody else is in possession of your items, is the right way to say it, and you claim that your items are stolen? Sort of what level of proof, what burden of proof do we put on the person in order for him to sustain the claim that his objects, that his items, that his possessions were actually stolen? That is going to lead into a discussion of, okay, let's say somebody rips you off, somebody steals your possessions, your objects, and then sells them to somebody else. So the question is, what about the buyer? The buyer entered into this transaction from an innocent perspective. He didn't understand. He didn't realize he was buying stolen goods. So the question is now, first of all, is the buyer koneh? That's going to depend on whether the original owner was misyayesh. That already we remember from the sugyas that we covered yesterday and the day before. And there's also a question of, okay, so now the bailim, the original owner of the, let's say it was a book that was stolen. So the original owner of the book has the ability to try to seek recourse from one of the two individuals here. He could either seek recourse from the end buyer, or he could seek recourse from the thief. So the question is, who does he have to go after? We're going to see in the Gemara, that depends on a couple of things, and that is going to lead to a discussion of this concept called Takanas Hashuk, that sometimes we are going to make a Takanas Hashuk in order to protect an innocent buyer of an object. Because if the halacha would be that every time somebody buys a stolen object, that the original owner is allowed to grab the object back from the buyer without compensating him, everybody's going to be afraid to buy objects in the shuk, because nobody knows whether the thing that they're buying is really a hot good or not. And if it's stolen, it's going to turn out that the original owner is going to come and grab it from him, and he's going to be out the money, and it's going to be the thief that makes away with the profit. So we're going to see that this concept called Takanas Hashuk. Okay, the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Tes Vav Amud Aleph is going to talk about a scenario which we briefly touched on yesterday, right before the Mishnah, because it was one of the Tanoim, it was one of the conditions upon which Yeshua was manchil Eretz Yisrael to the Bnei Yisrael. But the hypothetical is one person is coming with his barrel of wine, another person is coming with his jug of honey. And we see that the jug of honey has a crack in it, so all the honey is going to spill onto the street. And we said yesterday that honey in the times of the Gemara was more valuable than wine. So this guy, appreciating that his friend's honey is going to be wasted unless he does something, because there's no replacement kli to catch all the honey, he dumps out all his wine and he uses the kli that was housing his wine to catch all of the honey. And now he says to his friend, you have to pay me. So the question is, what exactly does the friend have to pay? Does a friend have to pay the entire value of all the wine that the guy spilled out in order to collect his honey? Does he have to pay some lesser amount? And of course, that's going to depend, and we're going to see exactly in the Gemara what it depends on. That is going to lead to a discussion of, because we're talking about liquids that are housed in cracked kalim, that is going to lead to a discussion of liquids that are left open, that are left revealed, exposed overnight, and whether you're allowed to do anything with those liquids. Because there was a concern in the times of the Gemara that a snake would come and would inject its venom into the liquid, and that would be very, very dangerous potentially. And in that context, the Gemara is going to talk about, okay, let's say you have a liquid that has been exposed overnight. Are you allowed to say that this liquid should be truma or meiser on some other produce that I have in my house? Meaning, you're trying to rig the system so that the kohen or the levi, whoever the recipient of this truma or meiser is going to be stuck with this liquid that is essentially unusable. And the chachamim say that you can't do that because we're afraid for the hefsid of the kohen. Or do the Chachamim say that we're not afraid for the hefset of the coin? And of course, we're going to see that it depends on what exactly these circumstances there. So again, we left off Kuf Yodalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah toward the bottom of the Amud, and we will begin there. Says the Mishnah as follows: Hamakir Kelov Usfara Viad Acher. If a person is walking down the street and sees somebody walking his way, and he's like, hold on a second, you're holding my sefer, or you're holding my kelim, you're wearing my shirt. So, v'yotzelo shem geneva b'ir. Now, it happens to be that there was a report of theft in the city, that he reported the theft of his gemara, or he reported the theft of his shirt. So, yishovelo lokeach kamenasan v'yitol. So the lokeach has to swear how much he paid for the object, and then he takes it. What does it mean, he takes it? So the Mishnah says over here, that so the Rashi on the Mishnah rather says that Nishpa lokeach kamenasan v'yitol v'yachzer lokelov v'livnei yiyush kamayri. In other words, the buyer is not going to have to give back the object and not take any pay, and not take any refund for it. The buyer gives back the object, but the buyer also swears to the owner of the object how much he paid for the object, and he's allowed to keep that amount. Now, we're obviously talking about lifnei yeyush. Why? Because Tosfos points out over here, if we're talking about la'achar yeyush, then the buyer could say to the original owner of the object, I'm sorry, you were misyayesh, there was a shini rishos, because the ganav stole it from you, sold it to me, and therefore I'm the rightful owner of the object, I don't have to pay you anything. Tosfa says, for that reason, that's why we talk about kalim or svarim. So kalim is a typical object for the Mishnah, for the Gemara to talk about. Usually we talk about metatlon and we talk about karka. We don't usually talk about svarim. So why are we talking about svarim? Tosfa points out, obviously, this is before the printing press, because svarim were very valuable. So svarim are an example of something that mistama lechora, you would not be misyayesh, that you would ever find them because they were so valuable to you. So again, you're walking down the street, you see somebody with your object, there was a coal in the ear that the object was stolen, so the buyer has to swear there was no yeish, so the buyer doesn't rightfully own the object. The buyer swears how much he paid and is allowed to keep that amount of money, but otherwise has to return the object to the original owner. Vim lav, however, if there was no shame gneva be'ir, lav kolei menu, then, you know, the original owner doesn't have the power to walk down the street, and every time he sees somebody wearing a nice jacket, he's allowed to say, oh, that's mine. There was no shame gneva be'ir, so there's no basis for that allegation that it was stolen from him. Shani Omar, machron la'acher, v'loch hazei menu. Why? Because if there's no shame gneva, what happened? Obviously, maybe the guy did originally own the jacket, but he sold it to somebody else. That guy sold it to this third party. That's why he doesn't recognize the lokeach. But we don't assume that it was stolen. Says the Gemara, v'chiyatzelo shem gneva be'ir mayhave. Okay, let's say there was a rumor that the object was stolen. So what? Lechosh duma zvinu. Let's say the mocher, let's say the original owner sold it himself. V'hu niyu kamafik shma. And now he himself, he regrets that he sold the object, and therefore he himself is the source of the rumor that the object was stolen. Some Rav Yudah Marav Kigon Shabo Bnei Oda Matoch Beiso V'Amad V'Hifkin Belaila. No, it's that there were people in the guy's house and they were shouting in the middle of the night, V'Amar Nignevu Kelai, the Kelim were stolen. But it says the Gemara Kolshkein Ila Matzah, this is all a pretext. In other words, you're staging this because you know that you want to get your object back. So you're staging this whole ruse, pretending that your object was stolen. Says the Gemara, Rav Kana Masayim Bab Shmei Derav Kigon Shaisa Machteres Chatura B'Toch Beisa. No. It turns out that there was a tunnel that was found that was dug under his house. Uvnei Adam Shalonu B'Toch Beiso, and people who slept in his house, Yotzu Van Vurko Shel Kelim Al Kasveim. They were seen walking through the tunnels with bundles of kalim slung over their shoulder, va'kol omrim nigdavu kalim shalploni, and everybody said, oh, that this guy's objects were stolen. In other words, that this is an umdana demuchak. In other words, that nobody would go through the pain of staging this, where the guy would dig a tunnel under his house and then invite people over for the evening sleepover company. And then the sleepover company would be spotted leaving his house with his objects slung over their shoulder. That would never happen. And therefore, so if that fact pattern presents itself, we know, we can believe, based on this umdana, that the objects were actually stolen. But says the Gemara, Vidilma Kalim Havi, Svaram Lo Havi. Why is the guy believed to say what was stolen? Maybe all that was in the bundles that were slung over the robber's shoulders were kalim, were objects, were vessels, but they were not svarim. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, the Kamri Nami svarim. No, because he also says, in other words, the people who were shouting in the guy's house that the sleepover company went, made off with all of the guy's possessions, they said not only Nignivu Kalov Shalploni, but also Nignivu Kalov Usfarim Shalploni. Says the Gemara, Velechosh Dilma Zutri Vikatan Ravravi. Maybe they stole only small Kalim or Sfarim, and he's being towing that they stole big Kalim or Sfarim. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, Diamar Sefer Ploni Uploni. No, because he's very specific. He says, in other words, my Mesifta Gemara was stolen. So in other words, we don't have to be afraid. Maybe they stole only one of the tiny Shas, and he's trying to be Tavea, a whole set of Mesiftas from them, because he says what was stolen. So, Vidil Mahavi Atika V'Katan Chadati, okay, but maybe it was a very old and worn out Sefer, and he's trying to be towing that it was a new Sefer. Says the Gemara, Marav Kagon Amri Halolu Kalev Shalploni, Halolu Svarev Shalploni. No, because we have people identifying that these Kalim or Svarim belong to the other guy. So we know exactly what was stolen from the other guy. Says the Gemara, Umi Omar Rav Hachi, but does Rav say this? Vamar Rav, Baba Machtares, Venethal Kalim, Vyatza, Potter, my time, Bidamo Kananeu. That if a person is Baba Machtares and winds up stealing objects from the homeowner's house, he's going to be Potter. So he shouldn't have to return the stolen items. Why? Because he's Kona them with Dumim. What does it mean he's Kona them with Dumim? It means because a Baba Machtares is considered to be a Rode. If that's the source of the Halacha, Haba Lahargacha, Hashkem Lahargo. That if you see somebody tunneling into your house, you're allowed to kill him. So if you're allowed to kill him, it's kamle b'drabamine. We don't force him to return the stolen objects. Says the Gemara, Hani mili de kananeyu b'baba machteres. To me, kara masar nafshe lektala. That's only when they tunnel into your house. But you have to pay attention to the fact pattern that the Gemara set up. Avalhani kivan dula masar nafshe lektala lo. The fact pattern that the Gemara set up is that there were tunnels under the guy's house, but they were escape tunnels. They didn't burrow into the guy's house and surprise him and therefore take on the din of a rodef. They were invited company into his house. So they were sleepover company in his house who happened to have exited through the machteres. Therefore, they don't have a din of a rodef, and therefore they would be chayiv to return the object. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava lo shanu ela balabayas hasu limkar kalav. Ela balabayas she'ina hasu limkar kalav. The only time that we're going to force the guy to be so specific and say, oh, I lost a set of Art Scroll Gemaras, or I lost a set of Masifta Gemaras because they were stolen from me, and he's going to have to identify the sefer that was stolen, that's only where he's somebody who generally sells his possessions. Because we're afraid, because he generally sells his possessions, who says that this guy is in possession of your Gemara because he stole it from you? Maybe he's in possession of your Gemara because you sold it to him. However, Aval Balabayis, Sheino Asilim Karkelev, however, a Balabayis who doesn't ordinarily sell his possessions, Lo Tzarek La Duri Alea Kulihai, we're not going to put him through the third degree in trying to get him to say which of the Sfarim were taken from him, because we believe him when he says that it was stolen. But says the Gemara, Vidilma Itzrach Leizuzei V'Zavin, maybe even though it's a Balabayis who doesn't ordinarily sell his Kalim, maybe this guy was in a pinch, he was in a bind, and therefore he had to sell his Kalim, he had to get liquid. So Amar Ravashi, Yare Yatzalo Shem Gneva Be'ir. No, we don't have to worry about it, because again, remember the Mishnah said is that Shem Gneva was in the ear. So we're not afraid that even though ordinarily this guy doesn't sell his kalim, over here he had to sell his kalim because he was in need of money, he was in need of liquidity, because there was a shem geneva, and we put the shem geneva together with the fact that he is now towing that I didn't sell it, and if he's the type of guy who doesn't ordinarily sell his kalim, we are not going to force him to specifically identify which of the sfarim he claims was stolen from him. Okay, says the Gemara Navaiter, two dots, three lines down, Kuftes Vav Amad Aleph. So Itmar, Ganav Umachar, if a person steals something and then sells it to somebody else, V'yachakach Hukara Ganav, and after that, the theft is discovered. So Rav Mishmei de Rav Chiya Amar Hadin Imarishon. So Rav, in the name of Rav Chiya, says that the din is with the, Rishon. Meaning, Rashi says that the din is with the Rishon, meaning Dino Shel Balabayis Utviyaso Alaganav. He says Rashi Ve'ein Alokeach Baldino. Vim Baligvosway Mino Yitain Damin, the Akakak Shukaraganov, Luarminan Yaksur Lokeach Akalam Bachinam Vifra Minaganov. That we will not say that the homeowner can collect from the Lokeach, and now it's a Lokeach's issue to go seek compensation from the Ganav. No. If the Balabayas wants his Kalim back from the Lokeach is entitled to the amount of money that he paid in order to buy the Kalim from the Ganav, because the din is in Marishon. Really, if the Balabayas has a beef, it's with the Ganav, not with the Lokeach. That's the first sheet in the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Mishmei, Rav Yana Yamar Adin Imasheni. Rav Yochanan, in the name of Rav Yana, says that the din is Imasheni, meaning that the din is with the Lokeach, the Sheni is the Lokeach, and therefore says Rashi that if the Balabayas wants, he could go take the Kalim from the Lokeach, and he doesn't have to pay the Lokeach for the Kalim, because his Baldin is with the Lokeach, his Baldin is properly the Lokeach. If the Lokeach wants to be compensated for the amount of money that is out, he has to go seek recourse from the Ganav. Okay, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Lo Pligi, and they're not arguing. Kan lefnei Yeish, before Yeish Hadin in Imasheni, the din is with the second guy, because the Balabayas could collect from the Lokeach and he doesn't have to pay the Lokeach, because the Lokeach was never Kona the object. Because remember, the only way you can be Kona a stolen object is through Yeish and Shini Rishus. But over here, there was no Yeish, therefore the Lokeach was never Kona the object. Kan li'achar Yeish, Adinim HaRishon. However, la'achar Yeish, the din is with the Rishon, with the Ganav, because the Lokeach was properly Kona the object, because there was both Yeish and Shini Rishus. Therefore, the Lokeach was Kona. If the Lokeach was properly Kona the object, you can't grab the object back from the Lokeach without compensating him. So if you want to grab it back from the Lokeach, you got to pay him for it. And then the original homeowner has to try to get his money back from the Ganav. So that's the way it is. V'tavayu islu d'Rav Chista, and they both hold like the Shita of Rav Chista. What's the Shita of Rav Chista? So the Shita of Rav Chista is, we have to look in Rashi, three lines down. Gazal velonis Yashua Bailim. If there was an object stolen and the Bailim were not misyayi, Shaba achar v'yachlo, and somebody else comes and then consumes the stolen object, Ratzamizegova. So it's the same halacha over here, that you can collect from either one, from either Baldin that you want. Okay. Says the Gemara, Amar le Abaye velo pligi. Do they not argue over here? Hamatnos kahuna. However, matnos kahuna kilifnei yeish dami, which are considered to be kilifnei yeish, because the Kohen doesn't give up hope that you're going to have to give him the matnos kahuna. Upligi. Yet we find an argument. What argument do we find about matnos kahuna? Says the Gemara, Ditnan. Amar lo. If a person says as follows, Machar li me'ea shalpara. Sell me the innards of a para, v'hayubem matanos, and part of the innards of the para that the buyer was going to buy were the parts of the innards that have to be given to the kohanim as matnas kahuna. Nosun l'kohen, you have to give them to the kohen, ve'ino menake, and you don't, ve'ino menake lo menadamim. However, you don't deduct from the amount of money that you're paying the butcher. Why? Because you see the innards of the cow in front of you. Everybody knows that from these innards of the cow, you have to give the matnos kahuna. You said, I want to buy the innards of the cow. Okay, so you buy the whole innards of the cow. You got to give the matnos kahuna to the kohen like a good Jew, and you don't have the entitlement to deduct from the amount of money that you have to pay the butcher. However, v'yama rav lo shanu ela. However, v'enam lokach emenu b'mishkol laskini line. However, if you buy based on weight, Nostan l'koin, then you have to give the matnas kahuna to the koin, umenaka lo men adamim. And you do get to deduct from the amount of money that you pay. Because when you buy the innards, all the innards of the animal, you're buying the entire lot of it. And therefore, everybody knows that you have to pay the matnas kahuna. So you decided you wanted to buy it for $50, and you have to go give the matnas kahuna from that. If, however, you're buying based on weight, when you're paying based on weight, you're intending only to buy that which you can use. So if you give the matnas kahuna, you're allowed to deduct the amount of money corresponding to the weight of the innards that you're going to have to give to the matnas kahuna. V'yamar Rav, and Rav says, lo shanu ela shashaka la'atzmo. That is only where he weighs it himself. Aval shakalo atabach, however, if the tabach weighs the item, hadin imatabach, then the din is with the tabach. Meaning, if the kohen wants to get his matnas kahuna, he's got to go after not the guy who bought the animal, but he has to go after the tabach. The tabach in our situation is the rishon, because he's considered to be the ganav, because the tabach is the one who's selling the item. The tabach is the one who's selling the meat without giving the matnas kahuna. So it turns out, see, he's considered to be the ganav, because he's, as it were, stealing from the kohen. So how can you say that everybody holds like Rav Chista that Ratzimi Zegova? But here we say that it's Lefnei Yeish, and we say Dafka, that the din is with the first guy, not whoever you want. So says the Gemara, Ema av dinim atabach. No. It doesn't mean that the din is only with a tabach. It means that if the Kohen wants to get his matnas kahuna, he could go either after the lokeach or after the tabach. That's like Rav Chista, who said, Ratzimi Zegova. Says the Gemara, Samau detema im matnas kahuna nigzeles. And I might think that matnas kahuna cannot be stolen, kamash malan, that they can be stolen. It says the Gemara, Labayadam are pligi, but according to Abayu, it says that they do argue. But my pligi, what do they argue about? Rav Chista, they disagree with the halacha of Rav Chista, that if Gezel v'lenasashu abaylim, is it the case that you have to collect only from the ganav, or can you collect even from the lokeach if there was no yish? So Rav Zvid Amar, Rav Zvid said, no, kigon sinis yashu abaylim biad lokeach, v'lenas yashu biliad ganav, that the Bailam had yish from ever collecting it in the hands of the lokeach, but he never had yish in the hands of, but he never had yish from collecting it in the hands of the ganav. Ubahai pligi, and this is Ubah pligi rather, and this is what they're arguing about. Mar savar yeyush, v'achar kach shine rishus kani, that if there was yeyush and after that ashine rishus, you are kone, but shine rishus v'achar kach yeyush lo kani, but if there's shine rishus first, and after that, yeyosh lo kani, and therefore, even though it's in the hands of the lokeach, and the baal was misyayish, because it was misyayish after it got to the hands of the lokeach, that's not considered to be a yeyosh, because it's only considered to be yeyosh if first he has yeyosh, and then came the shini rishus. Umar sover lo shnan. The other man, the Amar, says it doesn't make a difference. And therefore, even though the lokeach was kone before the yeyush, at the end of the day, when the dust settles, turns out that there was a yeyush and a shini rishus, therefore the lokeach is going to be kone, and therefore the balabayas has to go after the ganav. He doesn't come after the lokeach. Rav Papa says, beglima de kuliyam alopligi dehadar lamarei, that everybody agrees that it goes back to its owner. Over here, what they're arguing about is this concept called takonas hashuk, which we alluded to in the akdama to the shir. Rav Mishmed Rav Chia Amar Hadinim Arishon, that the din is with the rishon, meaning that the original owner has to go against the ganav. That dina de lokeach de lishkol zuze miganav, that the din is with the lokeach, that he has to go after the ganav. V'lo asubo takona sashuk. And when we say dina marishon, we don't only mean that the balabayas has to go after the ganav, but we mean that the lokeach also has to go after the ganav, because we don't make takona sashuk. In other words, we're not going to protect the lokeach from loss. He's not going to be able to recoup the amount that he paid for the object by withholding that amount. He's going to have to give the object back to the original owner, and then he's going to have to go pursue the ganav. Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yana Amar Dinam Hasheni, that the din is with a sheni. And when we say dinam hasheni, it doesn't mean that the Baal Abayis has a din with a sheni. What it means is dina de lokeach de lishkal mi Baal Abayis, that the din is with, it's on the lokeach side, that he's allowed to withhold the payment from the Baal Abayis, the asubo takanas hashuk. So that's what dinam arisha and dinam hasheni means. It's changing the paradigm. It doesn't mean who the owner is able to pursue. It means, do we protect the sheni by making this takonas hashuk, by preventing him from losing out, by having to return the object and then pursuing the Ghana for payment. Says the Gemara, Vesova Rav lo also about Takanas Ashuk. Does Rav say that we don't make Takanas Ashuk? We're not going to protect an innocent purchaser? It's like a good faith purchaser. Via Ravuna Talmide de Ravavi, but Ravuna was a Talmud of Rav, the Chanan Bisha, and Chanan Bisha Gunav Glima. Chanan Bisha, this wicked guy, stole a cloak, Vezovna, and he sold it. Also Lakame de Ravuna, he came before Ravuna, and Amar Le Lahu Gavra, and he said to the person, Zil Shari Avitrach, you have to redeem your pledge, meaning that that there is a takanas hashuk. In other words, if you want the object back, you're going to have to pay the lokeach for the amount that he paid Chanan Bisha for this object. Says the Gemara, Shani Chanan Bisha, kibin the lekel shaluma minay kala hukar dami. No, Chanan Bisha, because he was basically judgment proof, because there was no way to collect from him. This was not like a case of hukar aganav. This is like a case of lo hukar aganav. And if it's a case of lo hukar aganav, then there was definitely yeyush, and therefore that's why you have to pay the lokeach for the object. Amar Rava, im ganav mafursamu lo asubu takanas hashuk. That if it was a ganav mafursam, then we don't make a takanas hashuk. But says the Gemara, v'chanan bisha de mafursamu v'yasubu takanas hashuk. You just told me that when the owner wanted to collect from the buyer, we made the owner pay the buyer for the amount that he paid for the cloak. But Chanan Bisha was a mafursam ganav. He was a very well-known ganav. So we see we do make takanas hashuk. Na di the mafursam levishusa lignivusa la mafursam. His wickedness was well-known, but he wasn't well-known as being a ganav. All right, says the Gemara Vayter, Itmar, ganav upara b'chovo. Let's say you stole something and you use that stolen money to pay back a debt. Ganav upareya b'akefo. Or you pay off your credit card with the stolen object. So lo asubat akonas hashuk. We're not going to say to the malveh who received the money, oh, you're allowed to keep the payment, even though it was stolen because you were innocent, you didn't know. Damri lavadaita dehanu yaviale. Because you didn't loan the money thinking that this guy was banking on the fact that this guy was going to steal money and then give it to you. So in other words, it's not like you're in a position of loss the same way a guy who buys a stolen object that he didn't know was stolen, he loses out because he paid good money to buy that object. You loan the money having paying no attention, having no mind on the stolen goods which were ultimately used to pay you back. So mashkanta shavi masan b'meya. If, however, he gives security worth 200 for a loan of 100, also about takanas hashuk. In that case, we're gonna make takanas hashuk. In other words, meaning what happened over here is the borrower stole an object. He wanted to borrow money because the money's liquid. The object is not liquid. He pledged the object as collateral to the lender. The object was worth $200. He took a $100 loan. So if he took a $100 loan based on security worth $200, then obviously the lender did have in mind that he was going to collect from the mashkon, and therefore we will make takanas hashuk. Shava b'shava, ameima amar lo asubat takanas hashuk, marzut rama asubat takanas hashuk. However, what happens if he stole the object? He needed $100, so he gave the stolen object to the lender as security, but the stolen object was worth $100. He took a loan of $100. So now there's a machlokas, because ordinarily you don't loan out the amount of money that is equal to the collateral. You always make sure that you're over-secured, right? Every lender knows this. Your loan-to-value has got to be much higher than the loan's got to be much lower than the value of the property. So nobody would take the, nobody would extend a $100 loan based on $100 of collateral. And therefore, according to the Shita, it says that lo asubat takanas hashuk, we don't have to protect the malveh because he never was someich on the stolen goods. Okay. So zvini shava b'shava. If you bought something for its market value, asabat takanas hashuk, then we're going to protect the buyer. Shava meya b'masan. If you buy something for worth $100 for $200, then Rav Shesha amar lo asabat takanas hashuk. Rav Shesha says we're not going to protect the buyer because it's obvious that he just wants to give a gift to the seller because he paid $200 for something worth $100. Rava amar asabat takanas hashuk. Rava says no, we do protect the buyer. Vilchas avakulu asabat takanas hashuk. We are always going to protect the buyer. Except for somebody who steals in order to pay back his lender. Because if he's stealing in order to pay back his lender, he didn't have the stolen object when he borrowed the money. The lender obviously never was somech on the stolen object. Okay, says the Gemara Navaiter. Avivi bar Nazi. Chamua de Ravina. Avimi Barnazi, the father-in-law of Ravina, Havi Mosik Baugavra Arba Zuze, he was owed by a certain guy for Zuz, Gun of Glima, that he then stole a cloak, Asinele, he gave it to him, and Osfe Arba Zuzi Achrini, and then requested a loan of another four Zuz. So, and we're mesupuk whether the stolen object which is given to the lender was repayment of the first four zuz or whether it was security for the second four zuz chov. So, lesof hukar ganav. After that, after all this, the ganav was discovered. Asa l'kame de Ravina, and they came before Ravina. Amar kamoi ganav upara b'chov. Ovaloboy lemesav leibam lamidi. That the first situation where he already had loaned the four zuz and then received in respect to the four zuz loan payment of the stolen object, that we're not going to make a takana sashuk because the malve was never someich on that stolen object. However, hanoch arbazuzi achrini shakol zuz chavadar glimi. However, for the other four zuz, you are allowed to get the cloak back because you only loaned the money on the smichas das on the condition that you would be able to collect from that cloak. Maskev love Rav Cohen, but Rav Cohen says v'duma glimi bahani zuzi kamoa yavinilei. Maybe you're right, the first loan was made before you actually had the stolen object, and therefore we're not going to protect the malve, even though he received repayment of the loan with the stolen object. And the other loan, how do you know that it was a loan on collateral? Maybe he loaned them without any security. The same way he extended the original loan without security, maybe he extended this loan without security. So Galgal Milsa, so it turns out that the matter came, Matalakame de Ravavo, Amar Ilchasak Rav Kohen. The Ilchas was like Rav, the Halachas like Rav Kohen, that this is like a straight up case of Gun of Vapora Bechovo, and therefore Ein Lo Takonas Hashok. Narsha Gunav Safra, a person from Narsha stole Svarim, Zovne La Papuno, he sold them to a Papuno, Bitamnan, for eighty zuz, for $80. So Ozol Papuno, Zovne La Bar Mechuza, Bemeyav Esrin Zuze. And then the Papuno sold the stolen Svarim to somebody from Mechuza for 120 zuz. Lesof Ukar Ganav, after that the Ganav was discovered, Amar Abaye, and Abaye said as follows. Lezol Mori de Safra, that the owner of this farm should go, Vyavle Labar Mechuza, Tamnin Zuze, that he should pay 80, he should buy this farm back from the ultimate purchaser who paid 120, but he only has to pay him 80 Zuz. Vishakol Safra, he gets his farm back. Vyazol Bar Mechuza, and the guy who paid 120, Vishakil Arboami Papano, he has to collect the $40 difference because he already got $80 from the owner from the middle seller. And then the middle seller will have to go pursue the ganav and try to get the $80 from the ganav. Good. Maskev la Rava, Hashalokeach miganav asubatakonas hashuk. How is it that the Mechuzan guy has to accept this for him, and he's out now, and he only collects $80 and not $120? What about takonas hashuk? So asubatakonas hashuk lokeach milokeach mi boy. If by a lokeach we're going to make takonas hashuk, this guy is a lokeach of a lokeach from a ganav. So of course we should make a takonas hashuk. So elo amarava lezel mari de safra. No, what really should happen is as follows: the owner of this farm should go v'yovle labar mechuzoi may of esrin zuze. He could get this farm back, but only if he pays 120. V'shakol safre v'lezel mari de safre v'lishkol arbam mipapanoi v'tamne menarshoi. And now, in order to collect, he's got to collect 40 from the middle guy, which was the middle guy's profit. And now he collects 80 from the ganav, because that was the ganav's profit. So this shows that takanas hashuk applies not only for a lokeach min haganav, but also a lokeach me lokeach min haganav. Okay, that was the first part. The second part of the daf is easier. Zeba chaviso shel yayin. One guy is coming with a barrel of wine, Zeba bakado shel dvash, and the other guy is walking down the street with his jug of dvash, nistuka chavis shel dvash. That we see that the chavis of dvash is cracked, and therefore all the honey is going to seep out of the jug. And the owner of the barrel of the wine spills out all his wine in order to collect the dvash in the barrel, because again, as we saw yesterday, dvash was more expensive than wine. So says the Mishnah, ein lo ela scharo. He only has his schar. What does it mean, his schar? He only gets the schar for the time that it took to spill out his wine and collect the dvash, and for the use of the kli. In other words, he has to pay a rental payment for the kli, but he is not entitled to collect the value of the wine that he spilled out in order to save the guy's honey. However, and the reason is, it's going to become apparent right now, the reason is, nobody asked you to do that. The Baal HaDvash didn't say, oh, spill out your wine so you could collect my honey in your barrel. Vim Amar Atzele Shalcha Vatanosen Li Yazdmi Shali Chayev Li Tivo. However, if the fellow who has the barrel of wine has the presence of mind to say, oh, listen, your very expensive honey is spilling out, I'll spill out my wine and save your honey, but only if you pay me for all of my wine. And the guy says, fine. Then, of course, the owner of the honey has to pay the wine barrel person, the guy with the wine barrel, the entire value of the wine. Similar case, Shatap Nachal Chamoro, v'chamor Chavero. And let's say there's a flood, and the floodwaters carry away his donkey and his friend's donkey. Shalo yafa mana, his donkey is worth a mana, $100, v'shal Chavero masayim, and his friend's donkey is worth $200. V'niach zeh shalo v'itzeles shal Chavero. And he lets his own donkey drown and fly down the river, and he saves his friend's donkey. Ein lo ela scharo, he's only entitled to compensation for the schar that he expends by saving the other guy's donkey, because the other guy never asked him to let his own donkey drown and go down the river. Vim amar lo ani atzela shalcha v'atonosen li yeshali chayev litin. However, if you make a deal with a guy and say, oh, listen, your donkey is much more expensive, so I'm going to save your donkey at the expense of my donkey, but only if you pay me $100. Okay, in that case, obviously, the owner of the better donkey is going to have to pay the owner of the worse donkey, the savior, the $100. Says the Gemara, Va'amai, the Gemara says, back up. The case over here is, one person is walking down the street with a barrel of wine. The other guy is walking down the street with a jug of oil. The jug of oil is cracked, so all the dvash is going to fall out. So the owner of the barrel of wine spills out his wine and saves all of the honey, and we're saying that he's only entitled to the value of his schar, like as if he were a poel who's working to save for the time it takes to save the honey, and also the minimal rental payment for using his kli. Vamai lema lema efkeras azachina. I was zocha this from hefker. All of the dvash was going to spill on the ground were it not for me pouring out my wine and catching your dvash. So I should be entitled to all of your dvash because it was as if I was zocha from hefker. So milo tanya, don't we learn hare shaya ton kadayim v'kadei shemen? That if a person has kadayayin and kadeshemen, v'roh shem mishtabros, and sees that they're broken, lo yomar harezet truma maiser al perosh yeshli b'toch beisi, he shouldn't say that whatever's in these barrels, which are going to be holich li'ibud, because they're going to fall out to the ground, they should be truma and maiser for other perosh that I have in my house, v'yam amar, and if you said so, lo amar klum, it's as if you said nothing. Why is it lo amar klum? Rashi points out, because since it's going to be holich li'ibud, it's considered to be hefker. You have no bilus over it. So if it's holich libud, so in our case in the Mishnah, if you see the guy has a jug and there's dvash and the jug is cracked and it's going to fall onto the ground, it's as if he doesn't own it. It's as if it's hefker. So why is he entitled to keep his own dvash? Says the Gemara, Kedama Rav Yirmiyah, Kishakal Beis Abad Karachalea. Hachanami Kishakal Beis Abad Karachalea. No, we're talking about a case where it's not going to be holich libud because there is netting around the jug, and because there is netting around the jug, it's not considered to be hefker. So says the Gemara, v'im amar lo amar klum. However, is it true that in the case of the Braisa that we just cited, where the guy's barrels are broken and he's trying to declare what's in the broken barrels as truma and maaser and other payrus that he has in his house, is it true that if he makes that declaration, it's as if he didn't say anything? Vatanya, but didn't we learn in a Braisa, Misha Baba Derech, if a person is walking on the way, Umos Biyado, and he's carrying a pocket full of money, Va'anas Kenegdo, and there's a robber coming towards him, Vayoma Hare Pero Shayeshli Batok Besi Mechulalan Almos Halalu. He has Meiser Shani Peros in his house, and he wants to not be out the $100 that he has in his pocket. So he says, oh, the payrus of Meiser Shani that I have in my house are mechulal on this money. So then when the robber comes face to face with him, he's going to say, sorry, I can't give you the $100 because it's Meiser Shani money. And so he's going to try to get away without paying the robber like that. So you shouldn't say it. But what do we say? Vim amar dvarev kayamim. But if he does say that, then his dvarim are going to be kayamim, even though the money is holech li'ibud because he's about to be robbed. yet he's allowed to be mechalel, the kedusha of Meiser Sheni Peros, onto this money. So too, in our case, when his barrels are cracked, even though it's holich li'ibud, he should be able to declare them truma and meiser on other peras. Says the Gemara, achav b'mayaskinam b'sheyachal lahatzel. No, we're talking about where he could save the money, and therefore it's not holech li'ibud, but ibesheyachal lahatzel lechatchila amaylo yomar. If you're able to save the money, then why do we say lechatchila, you shouldn't be mechalel the peras on this money? But if you say it, then it works. Why do we say lechatchila, you shouldn't say it? B'sheyachal lahatzel ayedeyat chak. Because you're able to be masul al yedeyat chak. So says the Gemara, let's back up. We said that you shouldn't lechatchila say that this is a truma and meiser, because we don't want you to give truma and meiser to a kohen or a levi in something that the kohen and levi are going to cause the kohen and levi a hefsid, because he's never going to be able to use the object. Vatanya, hare shahayulo eser chavio shel tevel tamei. If you have 10 barrels of tamei tevel, ro echas mam shenishpura ocean is galsa, and you see that one of them are broken or they're exposed, and the problem is that if the wine is exposed, it's going to be usher to drink it because we're afraid that a snake injected its venom into it. Omer, hare hi trumas meiser al teisha chavrosea. That if it's wine, you're allowed to say, oh, the wine in the broken barrel of wine should be trumas meiser for every other barrel of wine. So we're obviously not afraid that you're causing the kohen hefsid, because he's not going to be able to do anything with it. V'shemen lo yasek imnei hefsid kohen. However, shemen is considered to be a hefsid gadol, and therefore you're not supposed to do this with shemen. And Amar Avirmi says, Kishakal Babe Sabad Korechalea. Nah, the reason that you're allowed to do it is not because we don't care about Hefsid, is because there's not going to be a Hefsid because the netting is around the barrel, so not all the liquid is going to fall out of the barrel. Says the Gemara Vishlama Shanishpura Chazia. Okay, the netting around the barrel helps explain to me how I'm going to be able to preserve the liquid if the barrel is broken. Ellen is galsa lamai chazia, but if the barrel is exposed, how's the netting around the barrel going to help? It's still going to be usher to use because we're afraid of the snake venom. The chite mechazi lazilov, and if you want to say, okay, so you can't drink it, but the coin at least could sprinkle the wine as a room diffuser. Vatanya mayim shen is galu. However, we said that if there's water that's revealed, hareza liyishpachem b'rishus harabim, you're not allowed to spill them in rishus harabim because we're afraid that somebody's going to step on it and he's going to have poison go through his foot. You're not allowed to mix cement with it. You're not allowed to lay dust with them. You're not allowed to give your animal or your friend's animal to drink. So the answer is, why are you allowed to sprinkle it? Because you put it through a strainer. And if you put it through a strainer, then we know that there is no snake venom in it. That Reb Nechemya says that if there's a strainer, we don't have to be afraid of the snake venom, because the snake venom is viscous, and therefore it's going to be caught in the strainer. All the other liquid is going to pass through the strainer, but the snake venom is going to get caught there. It says the Gemara, La Vitmar Allah, Amr Rav Siman, Amr Rav Yishua ben Levi, Lo Shano Ela Shelo Tarku, Aval Tarku Aser, that the only time that we rely on the snake venom being caught by the strainer is where you didn't mix the liquid. But if you mix the liquid, then we're worried that the snake venom is going to be broken down and is going to pass through the strainer. And over here, the only way to get the liquid out is to pour it. If you pour it, you're mixing all the liquid by definition. Says the Gemara, You could put a cloth on top of the barrel and pour it very slowly, so we're not afraid it's going to be mixed. Rabbi Nechemya mitar minan, are you allowed to give truma from this broken tamei thing on other tamei barrels? Vatanya tarmim mina tamei ala tamei umina tar ala tar. You're allowed to give truma from that which is tamei and that which is tamei, that which is tar and that which is tar, mina tar ala tamei. Avalo mina tamei ala tar. Rav Nechemya Omer af mina tamei ala tamei lo. Aloi tira litrom ela b'shal d'mai. That you're not allowed to give truma from that which is tamei and that which something else which is tamei. But our case was you had 10 barrels. They were all tamei. One of them was broken. You were allowed to give truma from one onto the other. Says the Gemara, Hachanami b'shal d'mai. No, we're talking about where it was where it was Demai as well. All right, we'll stop here. This is a good place to stop. The rabbi is back tomorrow. He'll pick up from Amar Mar. Everybody have a wonderful day.